Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Amen. Good. I know you've just sat down, but I just sense God's in this place. So why don't we just stand to our feet and let's give God some praise right now. Let's just give him a praise offering and say, God, we acknowledge you. You're in this place. Come on, church. You have done great things for us. We believe you are doing great things for us. We believe you're going to do great things for us. That we are not forsaken, that you are with us. And so, Lord, if we need to bring a sacrifice of praise, we will bring a sacrifice of praise. Because when there's praise in the house, there's breakthrough in the house. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Good, you can take your seats. It's good to be in church. Hallelujah. I don't know, I'm excited to be in the house of God this morning. Can you sense God's in the house? Amen. And you guys can come again, because I'm loving life this morning, and great to see you. Well, it's good news this morning, because we're going to talk about Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about Jesus. So if you want an empty, purposeless, meaningless, boring life, please do not listen to a word that I'm going to say this morning. Amen. So we're going to turn to John chapter 6 and verse 1. And if you've been in church like me a long time, then you may be familiar with this story. But can I just encourage you straight away, if you know this story off by heart, please don't tune out on me, and because this is the words of Jesus, and they're always going to be fresh. Yes, they're always going to be relevant. And sometimes I enjoy just speaking from a text of a part of Jesus' life. And this is what it says. It says this: sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Everyone say amen. Amen. When Jesus went up on the mountain and sat down with the disciples, the Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him. Oh, naughty Jesus. But he asked this only to test him. Not really, Jesus never naughty, but you know what I mean. He asked this to test him, for he'd already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. I love Philip. He's a strategist. Yes? Another of disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, spoke up. Here is a little boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will this go among so many? Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over." Everyone say amen. Amen. "Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 barley loaves and the leftovers that people had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is a prophet who has come into the world." Hallelujah. Jesus, knowing that he intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Wow. Well, Andy, what's that got to do with my life this morning? So I want to look at a title. And my title I want to share with you, what we're going to look, is this. If it comes on the screen, it is Help! I need 20 grand. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Help, I need 20 grand. Amen. Now, you may laugh, but this is the message title from Philip, yes? Because even though Jesus was there, this is what Philip said, being a strategist: "Help, We need 20 grand. We need 20 grand. So don't, it's in the Bible, so we've got to preach about it. When I say 20 grand, the average earning is around 30 grand. So 8 months' wages, 2.5 grand times eight is around 20 grand. So that's where I've got there. Yes? And so help, I need 20 grand. And all the church people say, amen, amen, amen. Good, you're going to come here again, aren't you? This is going to be the most downloaded podcast in history. Yeah? Good. Can I ask you a question? I don't want to make you feel sick this morning, but what would you do with 20 grand? My wife would she'd want a new wardrobe. Yeah? A few cars would come to mind. Maybe got some debts. Maybe a nice restaurant trip to Disneyland. Yeah? Can I ask you another question? What would 20 grand mean to you? Now, for some people in this room, 20 grand's not a big amount of money. Well, it's a lot of money, but for some it's not. But for others, 20 grand may transform your life. Yes? So it's a real subject. Can we talk about it? For some people, 20 grand would be life transforming. How would this 20 grand make you feel? I'm sure you're thinking, oh, if I had 20 grand, I'd just feel less stressed. I'd be in a better mood. Yeah. I wouldn't shout as much at my partner or my kids, whoever. It would help me get out a bit of a mess. Can I ask you a question this morning? What's your 20 grand? And I'm not talking about just about money this morning, but what's your impossibility this morning? You see, in this story, 5,000 needed to be fed. Yes? And Philip said, we need 20 grand. We haven't got 20 grand. And this morning, we may not have 20 grand, but I've got some good news this morning. We may not have 20 grand, but we've got Jesus. Come on, let's give God some praise. We've got to give God some praise. Amen. Amen. You see, what I love about this story is that Jesus saw the need. He saw the need. Jesus saw the 20 grand. And right now, Jesus sees your 20 grand, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, whether it's family, whether it actually is hard dosh. Jesus sees the 20 grand, yeah? And in the great news in this story, because it's a really important story, because why do we know that? Because it's included into every gospel. And because God, when he wants to say things four times, he really wants us to listen. And in the life changing, the Bible says that when Jesus saw the crowd, and stay with me on this, when Jesus saw the crowd, the Bible says that Jesus was filled with compassion. You see, the challenge was is that Jesus saw the need, which was 20 grand. Well, actually, what was 20 grand would just have got one person a bite. Yeah? But there was the 20 grand of need, and then Jesus saw the need. The Bible says he was full of compassion. And this is the exciting church, the thing, church, when you read the Bible, is that whenever you find the words Jesus and compassion in the same sentence, someone get excited because the miraculous is going to happen. The miraculous happens. Whenever you see the words Jesus and compassion together, the miraculous is about to break forth. Oh, I don't know about you, but I need the miraculous power of God to break forth on my life. Right now, I want to prophesy over your life that the miraculous working power of God is going to work on your life. Come on, someone get excited. I know about you. I'm believing that the miraculous power of God is going to come upon your family. When we read the news today, we need the miraculous power of God to come out on our community, and on knife crime, and on the government, and all these things that we're dealing with. Let's not write out, church, the miraculous power of God. Yes? You see, I believe in a God of the process, but I believe in the God of all of us suddenly.
Yes.
The miraculous power of God. Because when you see the words Jesus and compassion, the miraculous is about to happen. Come on, do we still believe this, church? I believe it with all my heart. We need a bit of the miraculous. I'm saying to God, God, I believe you. I want to see more of your miraculous in my own life, in my life of people. Over your health this morning, let's pray the outbreak of the miraculous, because the Lord is here. Come on, how's your faith, church? I'm believing this morning. You see, the definition of compassion is the feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Amen? And maybe you this morning, you've come in and all you're thinking about is your 20 grand. Whatever that is in your life, God wants to say he sees it. He has compassion. Has anyone been stricken with misfortune? God, we pray that you would move in this place over every area of misfortune. Do something amazing in this place, Lord. We believe you are a God of the miraculous. You see, we need to be encouraged, church, that we serve a God of compassion. And I want to unpack a little bit of this. Isaiah 54 verse 10 says this, though the mountains be shaken. Has anyone had some mountains shaken this year? Is the 20 grand making your mountain shaken? Yes. And the hills be removed. I don't know whether that's you this morning. And this is what the Bible says, though the mountains are shaken, stuff's shaking in society, maybe you're struggling with anxiety, whatever it is this morning, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, what's that? When disaster comes and it's all gone. And your 20 grand's ringing in your ears. The Bible says, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. Yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, so we have these components. You've got the 20 grand need. Then you've got Jesus seeing the need. Then the Bible says that Jesus was full of compassion. Which means the miraculous is going to take place. But for the miraculous to take place, there was one last component that needed to take place to unleash the miraculous. And what was that in the story? It was the faith of one little boy. The faith of one little boy. Yes? I think that's amazing. One little boy on fire for God can change a community. It's interesting that the population of Langley Mill and Aldicar is like 4,962. Come on, church. One little boy on fire for God can change a whole community. Amen? I'm sure that morning when that little boy got up, say his name was Billy, and he got up and his dad had been fishing and brought two fish. What a story that is. Yes. And his mum, if he's like my mum, would have like given him packed him up. And maybe, I don't know, how did he get there? He'd probably think, I'm a little boy. And it's amazing that your children can follow Jesus. What was he doing in the story? And when he got up that morning, he just thought it was probably just a normal day. I've got my packed lunch. I'm not sure about this Jesus, but someone's invited me and I'm just going to go along to this big picnic. And then all of a sudden, because of who he was, he got involved in something. Yes. That his lives will be recorded forever. And over 2,000 years later, A little old church in Langley Mills talking about this boy. Come on. He thinks that's amazing. Yeah. Just think of the story that he would have told his mum and dad. Did you have a good day, Billy? Right, take a seat. Because you're not going to believe this. But it just takes some faith. And so we're going to look for the remainder of our time of three principles that this little boy had that are so relevant for our lives today. Because he teaches us as a lesson. That's why I believe it's recorded in all four Gospels, because God was wanting to say, look at this boy, everybody, because he's got something that we all need, which is amazing. Because we've got the 20 grand, Jesus sees the need, he's filled with compassion, but he needs someone with some faith. Come on. Does anyone have faith in the room?
Yeah.
Yeah? Good. We're going to talk about faith.
Come on.
Might make you feel a little bit uncomfortable this morning, but hey, that's fine. We're going to talk about faith.
Yeah.
You see, before you ask of God, we've got to make sure that we're doing what God has asked of us. Yeah?
Yeah.
Whenever anyone's asked for my advice as a senior pastor, I'll always say, before you ask of God, just make sure that before you ask of God, you are doing that, what God has asked of you. So we're going to look at three points about this little boy that are relevant for our lives, which I feel we can all take a great example from. Okay, you with me?
Yeah.
Number one, first point, this little boy, he was willing to stop and get involved with something bigger than himself.
Yeah.
Yes? A few swear words in there in the 21st century. He was willing to stop. Yes? Busy. Stop. And get involved. Yes? With something that was bigger than himself. Yeah? Something bigger than himself. You see, this little boy, he left for the day, and I'm sure that he'd spent his time, he'd got it in his diary, and he was going to meet with Jesus, and as he was walking along, Philip and Andrew came to him and started into a dialogue. They must have stopped him because obviously they found out that he got 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. Well, I want to say well done to this guy that he was willing to stop and listen to what was required of him. Yes? And sometimes we can be on autopilot, is that right? And we live in a world of convenience, 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 convenience. Hello? And sometimes it's good. We get convenience everything nowadays. But can I just say, sometimes when we follow Jesus, it's inconvenient. Because compassion's inconvenient. And he was willing in his life to suffer a bit of inconvenience. Because if he was like all of us, I mean, if he had today, he'd have his phone on wanting, he'd just be like, you know, a whole nuclear bomber go off. You'd never know. You're just like walking, aren't you? But he was willing just to stop. Say, what is required of me? He was willing to stop. And maybe, well done this morning, you could have been out barbecuing or whatever you want to do. But we've chosen this morning to come and stop. If you're busy like me, you've got, maybe you've come and your work's drowning out your ears right now, you're thinking about work. Or emails on your phone and your face and all that stuff, but you just got to stop. And he got into a dialogue with Andrew and Philip. It's amazing that sometimes we get involved in things in our lives. We're so busy that in 12 months' time, it will have no significance in our life. Is that right? But here, this little boy stopped and he listened and he got into a conversation. He was willing to be inconvenienced and he's been remembered forever. And he got involved in feeding 5,000 people. What a story to tell your grandkids. Yes? What's the story do you want to be said over your life? Oh yeah, a guy spoke to me about helping with the cause of Christ and I just kept walking by because you know what? You know, it was my time. Who does he think this guy is talking to me? I'm just going to sit on myself on the grass. Or do you want to say, yeah, I stopped. And these guys asked me for my dinner. I didn't want to give me dinner. I'm starving. And I fed 5,000 people. Jesus was there. What story do you want to be said? We have to be careful because in the book of Haggai, everyone say Haggai. Haggai. I love Haggai, one of my favorite books. Because God had called his people to get involved in something bigger than themselves, which was to build the temple. Yeah? Was to build the temple, but so there's something in our human nature. What they did is they kind of tuned, because building the temple is inconvenient, yeah? And it's like, well, what am I going to get for building the temple? And what they did, they kind of tuned out on the larger purposes of God, because they think, well, how's that actually going to benefit me? And what they did is they focused on building their own house. Yes? Now, there's nothing wrong building your own house. God expects that. There's nothing wrong with working hard. But sometimes that can become so important about what we're doing, that the bigger picture of what God wants to do in your life, the bigger picture of what God wants to do at New Horizon Church, sometimes that's just like, it just gets shrunk down. Because life just takes over. And I'm always intentional at pushing away and saying, God, your will comes first for my life. Your purposes come first in my life. The car's secondary. The house is important, but it's secondary. What my career is secondary. What you want me to do is the most important thing. Is anyone with me, church? You know, I've got this pressing on me, that pressing on me. I could get involved in lots of things, but God, what do you want to get me involved in? Because I'm quite fired up this morning because as men and women of God, God calls us to get involved in things that are bigger than ourselves. Yes? And you might say, well, that's difficult because, you know, it says that God is interested in the welfare of God's house. God's interested in the welfare of our community. Yes? God's interested in the welfare of people who are suffering on any level. God is interested in the needs of the poor. God is interested in reaching the world for Christ. And I'm sorry, that may be inconvenient to you. Yes? But if we are a follower of Christ, a real follower of Christ, we have got to get involved in something that is bigger than ourselves. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. It's bigger than ourselves. It's bigger than ourselves. It's like we're having the guest night missionary because we want to be a church that encourages people. And these missionaries that are coming from Spain, working hard, they're going to come, they're going to present, and we want to bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, cheer them on, because we're involved in something bigger than ourselves. Yes? And I'm wrestling with this all the time because we've got to be careful. It's a very individualistic, selfish world that we live in, and it's me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. No, it's me, yes, my wife and kids, but it's also the world. We're responsible for the world, the local church. I've said many times, the local church is the only organization that's been anointed and empowered from God, the living God, the Lord of hosts, to change the world and to reach the world. Not Apple, not Google, not Amazon, not eBay, the church. And they're doing a great job without the Holy Spirit. Just imagine what the church could do if we got our act together with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Got to get a wriggle on. Sad thing, too many Christians live two small lives. Some of you never go to the Amazon to serve God, but you can pray for it. You give into an offering for it. Because we get involved in things bigger than ourselves. I love that word, involved. He got involved. Oh, Andy, sometimes we need season where we need a rest. But sometimes in the church world, everyone wants a rest. Yeah? Oh, no, I'm tired. I can't be done with this. Can I just sit down for a bit? Maybe, don't get me wrong, you might need a season where you need to sit down for a bit, so please have a sit down, but some people are always sitting down. Can I be cheeky? And I'm not going to do that because I'm called to lead you. Come on. Get involved. Takes time, bit of effort. But this is what God wants us to do. Story. That he was willing to stop, look, listen, consider, and then he brought forth action. Yes, action. Let's not be like the people of the book of Haggai. Who's too busy with their own world. That forgot about the world that God loved. I tell you what, there's a big consequence in their lives. They didn't prosper. Found life really difficult. And this is not every case, but if your life's really difficult and you're not prospering, hey, just maybe, not all the time, but sometimes it's God saying, I want to get your attention. Yeah, that verse in Haggai always cuts me in half. Give careful thought to your ways. When Jesus says, give careful thought to your ways, maybe your ways need a bit of consideration. So let's not be like the book of Haggai. Be willing to stop and get involved with something bigger than yourself. Amen? That's what that little boy did. Second point, to unlock the compassion, unlock the miraculous of Jesus, he lived with the right spirit, which was a generous spirit. Everyone say generous. Everyone say generous, right? We said it. I'm sure we've all been in that situation where you're having a meal and then the person next to you, you know, they look still hungry, yeah? Especially as parents. And then you give your kids, like, the chicken. And as you're doing it, you're just crying inside. Have mine, son. It's all right. Yeah? I'm sure that, you know, he's gone out, he's done brilliantly, this little boy. I mean, he's actually come out with some food. And if you know my two little boys, they love food. You mess with their food, that is it. That's it, you just can't go there. You know, I had to challenge them from arm wrestling, they beat me. And, you know, to get their food. And this little boy, he's walking, and he says, oh, what you got now? 5 little loaves and 2 fish, that's quite a big supper. Is that right for a little boy? So sometimes we think it's small. To him, it's all relative, by the way. £1,000 for you may be small, but £1,000 for might be huge. And you know, I want what you've got. Oh, oh, oh. I've got fasting and praying today, Lord. Just, he had his lunch. It was his. He had his ownership. It was his lunch. But this little boy, I'm sure he was there and he got into this conversation and Philip and Andrew saying, listen, little boy, 5,000 people are starving. We've had a look around. No one's got any food except you. Oh yeah, it would be me. Yeah, surely. I'm the only one who come prepared. Can I have, what do you want? Well, I'll give you one loaf. No, we want all of it. I want all of it. No, don't go there, God. I want all of it. And this little boy did something really brave in faith. He gave because he was generous what he had and said, there you go. Because when we get in situations like that, our characters are tested. Yeah? And the reason what's good about when your character's tested, when your character's tested, your spirit comes out. Yes? When you're tested. And when he was tested, his character came out, and his character God loved, because he had when he was tested in the area of giving, his spirit came out as generous. Because you've got to be careful of your spirit, because the Bible says in Numbers 13 that your spirit, who you are inside, determines your destination. Do you know that? You can have the greatest prophecies over your life. If you've got the wrong spirit, you're not going to inherit it. You need the right verse with the right spirit. It's like dynamite. And he was generous. It's going to be quiet. It was generous. Can we say generous, church? Because we want to be a generous people. I'm glad he didn't have, there's a few spirits that we shouldn't have as Christians. I'm glad he didn't have a stingy spirit. Because 2 Corinthians 9 says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Hello? But sowing and planting is not, if I can say this word, it's not sexy. It's like you have something and then you put it in the ground and you don't see it anymore. Yeah? It's like, no. But the Bible says whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. So if you don't like what you're reaping, hello? Maybe you need to start sowing. There's been times in mine and Becky's life where things have been a difficult. We've said, instead of saying, we've got to say, do you know what? What are we going to sow? It's time to sow. It's not time to withhold it. Now, no, when you think it's time to withhold, that's the time to sow. Yeah? It's time to sow. Proverbs 28, verse 22. The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Yeah? The challenge is that being stingy for Christians does not reflect the heart and character of God. Yeah? So I'm glad he didn't have a stingy spirit. I'm glad he didn't have an insecure spirit. You know, an insecure spirit, it's a robber and it's a thief. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't say, well, Philip and Andrew, all I've got is 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. It's not even worth giving it you. And I won't even bother. I've got no skills. I can't serve God. I'm the lowest of the low. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I got to the bottom of the well and kept digging. When you think, what's my £10 going to do in the offering? It's not going to achieve anything on what my paper round or whatever I do. That's not going to achieve anything. I want to say that's not the point. Is that we give what we have. Yeah. Yes? You would be amazed what God can do with your small thing. Yeah? Yeah? One of the principles of this house is that the staff and all we do is bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah. In year 11, after my GCSEs, my head teacher sat me down and said, Andy, your future does not look good. When you're 16, you don't need someone to tell you that because you know that. And I sat down on the steps outside of speaking to him and God said, whose opinion are you going to live with? No, I'm not listening to that opinion. God's hands on my life. Yeah. How dare you speak to a son of God? Now, I didn't say that, but anyway, I got kicked out of school, but I would do now. Funny thing was, it was when I did an assembly for over 500-600 teenagers. God was in the house, and this teacher was stood at the back. I said, yeah, I've done all right, son. He's awesome. Yeah. Amen. Amen? He's awesome. An insecure spirit. Maybe things that you don't really want to do, but, I'm not going to bother. I'd be rubbish on the car park. I'd be rubbish at saying my testimony. I'm rubbish at things like that, Andy. All you need is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just give what you have. That's all God requires. Yeah? You just give what you have. What's the silly sling? You don't use a silly sling, a piece like a sock, to take down a Goliath, do you? That's ridiculous. You want a machine gun? I'd be praying for a cannon. Flamethrower. It's just little boy. Little boy again. Sling. Little sling. 5 stones. I love that he got 5 stones. Some people said Goliath had 5 brothers, but I liked my version is he got 5 stones because he's thinking, if I miss with that, I'm coming again, boy. Yeah. And I'm coming again. Yeah. I love him. He was prepared. So don't say what you've got won't make any difference.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't say, if I give in the offering, it's not going to make any difference. No. It will make a difference. it will make a difference. We're going to live with a generous spirit. I'm so glad this little boy had the right spirit, which was a generous spirit, because there are no miracles without it. The Bible says, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Amen. Proverbs 11, verse 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. I'm preaching the Bible this morning. Yeah. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refresheth others will be refreshed. Who thinks that's powerful? Yeah. You see, this is the great thing about generosity. And please hear me. Generosity, it doesn't start with what you don't have or what you wish you had. It starts with what you've got. Here and now. Yes. You know? People say, I'll start serving when? I'll start giving when I get that bonus. Yeah? Well, that's cool, but generosity starts with what you've got now. You know, some people just live, well, if only this, when this happens, or when that happens and that, then I'll start living. No, it's the here and now. Yes. It was the here and now for the boy, and the boy said, hey, I'm gonna do something about this, because that's what a generous spirit is. Yeah? Just think of the woman, and I'm coming to a finish in a few minutes, just think of the woman in 2 Kings 4, whose husband's died, and she must have collected so much debt that the man's coming to take away her two sons. Think about that, parents. And the man of God comes to her and says, I love this. He didn't just come and she says, oh, I'm in debt. My husband's died. My two sons are going to take him away. I love that the prophet didn't just go, gets his magic wand and say, oh, there we go. This is what the man says. The prophet says, and maybe this is controversial, but he says, what have you got inside your house? She's in debt. Up to her neck. Her two sons have come in, and the man, it's a bit cheeky, says, what have you got in the house? Well, I've got nothing. And she says this, I've got absolutely nothing except a little oil. Oh, all God needs is a little oil in your life. All I've got is a little oil. He says, okay, go and get some jugs. Go and get some jars. Starts pouring the oil. Jugful. Oh, she only had a little oil. Jugs. The Bible says that when all the jars in the community was full, that's when the oil ran dry. It stopped. She sold the oil. She paid off all of her debts. And she saved her two sons. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. Come on, we're going to be generous. Can I say this? The problem is today the world is going to hell. And there's too many cobwebs on Christians' wallets. Hello? Let's have generous spirits. And maybe that's whatever that is in your life. I'm not just talking about money, but that's whatever that is in your life. Let's be a generous people. Generous with our finance, generous with our time, generous with our hearts, generous with our service. Then point three, I'm going to finish on this. What the little boy had, he gave what he had to the right person. See, this little boy had one of the greatest lessons in life, that he wasn't just giving, but he was giving to a man named Jesus. He was giving to Jehovah Jireh. And when we give, we're giving to Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? I put my teeth in. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? It means the Lord is my provider. Yeah. That's who's giving to. Yes. And when we bring an offering, we need to remember who we're giving to. Yes. Yeah. We're giving to Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. Yeah. Amen. When we bring an offering, we need to remember who we're giving it to. Jehovah Jireh. I'm sure that when that little boy was asked about giving his dinner, right then he was in a battle, yeah? I'm sure right then when he was giving his dinner, the devil made his tummy rumble. Oh, yeah? And I finish with this. Have you ever been in a battle about bringing an offering? Oof. When you bring an offering, When you, because that's what it is, you bring an offering. You bring an offering. When I was young, I got to the stage when I was 21 when I said to God, God, I am giving you the rest of my life, whatever you want me to do, whatever ambitions I have. There was a song that we sung, whatever, I'm rubbish at songs, but whatever I can be and whatever I can achieve, I'm giving it you. And I said, God, everything is yours. There is nothing. It is all yours. If it was me, I'm standing in the offering bucket. Take this life. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll go. Is there anyone in the house? He's going to say, God, everything's yours. I'm tearing my life up. I'm going to put my life on the altar. Say, God, use me for your glory. Oh, the call of God's in this house. We're going to pray in a minute. And I said, God, I didn't want to go to Bible college. I'm not that type of person. I've been on the tools for 7 or 8 years. Played football all my life. God said, be a pastor, go to Bible college. Oh, but I said it, I've got to bring an offering. And then God said, oh, I was earning a lot of money, self-employed at 21. And he had a black convertible Jeep, leather. It had a soft top and a hard top. And I was kind of went before the ages of grants and stuff. And I always remember God says, I want the Jeep. Oh, now I'm a car guy. You may touch different things in my life, but not my car, Lord. No, come on. I'll give you certain areas, but not the car. But that's why God was asking for it. He said, come on. Because I need some money to pay the fees for my college. So put the for sale sign. And inside, because when you give an offering, it means something. It means something. It means something. Hallelujah. And at the time, we were singing a song. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me and the world is all it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And as I was selling my car, we were singing that song and the person in front of the road saying, stop throttling me. That there's pain in the offering. Yeah. Is anyone, praise word, there's pain in the offering. Oh, pain. Can I just say this morning, if there's not pain in the offering, it's not an offering. It's not an offering, church. This morning, I'm bringing an offering to the Lord, being here. I'd much prefer people who know me just be sat somewhere. If it all goes wrong, it's not my fault. I love it. I want to bring an offering. You want to bring an offering. Those that's pain in the offering, you've got to bring an offering. This morning, I'm going to ask you, what offering are you going to bring? Last story in Kings, Samuel 24, Samuel 2, 2 Samuel chapter 24. Beautiful story of King David. He comes and God, there was a plague in the land. And God says, make an offering. And he comes to this guy's house. And the guy, God tells him where to make this offering. And the guy, the king went to the guy and said, guy, he said, I need to make an offering in your back garden. It was a threshing floor, yeah? And the guy said to him, like, if the queen asked for my back garden, he said, no, you're the king. You're the king of Israel. You're the king. You don't need to pay me for the offering, for the land. You can have it free. And no, king says, no, I need to pay you for it. King says, no, I need to pay you for it. No, no, you can have it free. Have it free. The king said, no, I need to pay you for it. The guy said, no, you can have my back garden for free. You can use it for free. And then King David says this, no, I've got to pay you because I will not bring an offering that costs me nothing. Because it's not an offering. The Bible says, when David brought an offering, the plague stopped. Because when we come in faith, we have a God of compassion and the miraculous is about to happen. Amen. I'm so pleased that this little boy who was just willing to give what he had to the right person. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask the band to come forward as we finish. Help. I need 20 grand. What's your 20 grand this morning? Whatever it is, we have a Lord of compassion. And as we just stay here, I want to ask, and we're going to have just time for prayer. What do you need to give to the Lord this morning? What do you need to give to the Lord this morning? Do you need to give him your life? God, I'm going to become a Christian today. I'm not bothered if I get embarrassed. I'm believing in you. There's no pressure. If God's not talking to you, you relax. But right now you're saying, God, I want to become a Christian today. Maybe it's your insecurity. You may be saying, God, I've got to give you my insecurity and stop saying I'm rubbish, because actually you say that you've given me gifts and talents that I can serve you. Maybe right now you need to say this morning, I'm giving you my insecurity. Maybe right now you need to give God your failures. You're beating yourself up about all the fails that you've made in your life. Maybe right now you say, God, I'm giving you my failures. Because when I give you my failures and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're clean. Amen? Amen. Maybe right now you need to offer God your sin and say, God, I'm so sorry. Maybe you've got to give God a relationship. Oh, been there, church. No, there's pain in the offering. Maybe a career that you're thinking, and maybe you're trying to do it your way, and right now God's saying, no, I've got to give everything to God, my whole life. Maybe you're here like I did at 21 and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I am putting myself on the altar. Light the fire. Maybe it's your car. Maybe not. Maybe it's your money. I'm going to stop coming to church and not, but I will bring an offering. I'm going to get involved in this thing. Maybe it's your future. And right now we're going to sing Time's Gone If You Need to Go, but I'm going to just give. In the olden times, there was an altar where you made a sacrifice and you brought an offering. And this morning is an altar. It's an altar. And we're going to sing a song. And if you need to go, you need to go. But we're just going to make space. If there's nobody here, that's fine. But if you're here saying, God's spoken to me, and I want to respond, and I want to say, God, I'm bringing things to the altar. As we sing, I want you to come forward, and the leaders of the church and the staff, and we're just going to pray for you. I won't do anything weird. I'm going to lay my hand on you. I'm going to pray that God would bless you and that you'd navigate this well. Maybe right now there's going to be pain in this offering, but right now you're going to say, God, I'm giving it to you. Are you ready, church? We're going to sing. If you want to come forward now, you're saying, God, I'm giving you things. It's not about, you can just come to the front and say, God, I'm just taking this moment right now. Lord, I just pray right now that an offering will be brought that is acceptable in your sight. Lord, we just pray. We just want to bring an offering to you.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.